All right.
Okay.
Our people,
welcome.
Welcome back.
You will not disrespect my mother.
Hey, they're the ones disrespecting her, not you.
Welcome.
We are back.
Ayo! Welcome to Jesus and Jalop. Well, your blackness is enough. Jesus and Jalop.
Why did I was imitating a thug on stage. And for some reason, my default
was DMX. Legit.
And I was like, this dude was like, hey, yo, what you doing? And they were like, what?
That's
I was like,
DMX.
My bad. I'm sorry. I don't know why my thug voice sounds like DMX. And he wasn't even a thug. I think it was just a dude from the hood. I was like, I have hood friends. And they were like, hey, yo, Yvonne. And
you're like, you have DMX as a friend? That's one of your friends?
Yeah.
I want to have DMX as a friend. I really do.
You know, I really, one day. Like,
we gonna meet.
We need to do Make-A-Wish for people who don't have terminal things. And if we could do it, we just need to find Yvonne a way to meet DMX. It
I'm
has
telling
to happen.
You, the gospel album that me and him will put out.
Will be hot fire.
Hot fire.
Yo, I'm buying it right now.
Hey, yo, I'm here. Gotta thank God for all the blessings. You hear what I'm saying? I'm learning the lessons.
Woo! That's hot fire.
It's hot fire.
In fact, I want it.
I'm in the background. Come on, X.
After the gospel album, he got to do the Christmas album.
Yes, but
yo, he got to do
the Christmas album. Come on.
Chestnuts, they roasting.
I'm telling you.
I'm here for it.
All I want for Christmas.
Who we got to call to make this happen? Because I need to see this.
I pre-ordered the album 10 days ago.
I don't know about you, but I already pre-ordered it on Apple Music, on Spotify, on Tidal even. I even went to Tidal.
Number one street. You even went to Tidal?
I even went to Tidal for it because I wanted that bad.
Number one street. I'm telling you, Swiss Beats could do it.
Bruh.
We can bring back, and Diddy could be in the background. Yo, like, take that.
And you know what? We got to have Mace also do a little cameo.
I've been around.
Magoo. You know what I mean?
Magoo?
Remember him? Magoo? Timbaland and Magoo? Magoo needs to come back.
First of all, your accent.
I'm African. Magoo.
I said Magikyu.
Who is Magoo? I'm so African sometimes.
And Magoo. Timbaland and Magoo.
Hey, Maggie. Timbaland and Maggie. You like, who is Maggie?
You thought I was going to let you go. If I was a good friend, I'd let you go. But no. Because I'm a good friend,
the
I'm like, no.
Africanness has come
back. Come back. Timbaland. Magoo.
Magoo. Hey, yes.
I was like, does she mean loon? What is happening? It'll be like that flyer that's going around where it's like 85,000 people performing.
Yes. You know I want to go to that, right? Even though it might be Fire Festival.
Listen, it's fire too. It's hot fire.
Hot fire. Because Lil Kim was like, check cleared. I'm going to be there. I said, you know what?
Hot. But how are you going to advertise for me before you check?
Can you imagine? It would be a good show. Honestly, everybody's going to be 4 hours late. I already know.
Man, that's too... That's, you know when it's like Night of Too Many Stars?
Yes.
That's Night of Too Many Black Rappers. Night of Too Many 90s Celebrities.
If y'all haven't seen it, it's this thing called Lovers and Friends, this poster that's been going around that has literally every 90s...
Every person from 8th grade to 11th grade.
Yes.
That you rocked with heavy.
Which means it's about 35 of them, which means I want to go.
Which means there's a possibility that 10 of them will show up.
And nobody else.
The ones that have mortgages and don't have residual checks.
And they will all be 6 hours late. So you're going to have to bring a tent with you because you're going to be there till about 6 a.m.
Yeah, I'm not going to that. I'll just stream their albums from the comfort of my own Apple Play at home.
It's true. So yes, we are back.
Well, we are back. And so just so you guys know how this season's going to work, because yes. I know you people are abusing ants. So you want to just come back. I'm like, welcome. Yes, we want to come back and to let you know that, Lovey, what do you want to let them know?
I have to be the bearer of bad news. Okay, so what happened was, so you know how previous seasons, right? Mm-hmm. Episodes drop every other week, like
every
on
other
schedule.
Every
right?
other Wednesday.
Just on schedule.
On schedule, like the 4 o'clock train.
Just clockwork, mm-hmm. You know? That's probably not how the season is going to go
down. It's not
going to
be good.
No, it's going to happen like that. Because what's happening is in our lives. So notice how, you know, episode one, we talked about why it took us 8 months to get a comeback. Okay, remember that we're consistent. The reason why it took us 8 months to come back is because we've just been booked and busy and blessed. We thank God.
In the name of Jesus.
Hey,
thank God. Baba God.
In fact, this is a season that we prayed for.
How? We thank. Look at that. You cannot be mad at us. Because we are inheriting the blessings.
Yes.
That Baba God promised us.
Promised us.
And promised you too.
Yes.
Because you too can be an inheritor mm-hmm. of the blessings of Baba God. So don't, you know, how you treat another man's blessings mm-hmm. will determine how your own blessings will come.
Correct.
In fact.
So don't guilt us for our own blessings because we have been too busy to be doing consistent things.
Yeah, but we're consistently busy. That's what
we are consistently busy, okay?
So this season is think of it as an intermittent season. Think of it as one of those blessings where you're like, ah, I wasn't even expecting it.
I never had spared it.
And then look at my alert has just alerted me that there's a new episode. So you're welcome. It's like a gift you did not know was coming.
Correct. Think just you'll be surprised every time a new thing drops. Just act as if
because we too will be surprised.
We'll be shocked along with you. Because honestly, here's the thing is me and Yvonne typically record in the same city, right? But even besides that, we're so busy that I had to catch Yvonne before she goes off to another country.
Yeah, because Elovie was like, hey, let's do this. I said, oh, I'm going to be not available for the next 3 weeks. She's like, ah. And then here's how this episode came to bed, just so that you know we're not making this up. I'm literally getting ready to shoot my HBO special. Lovey said, hey, I'm coming to town. I'm going to surprise you. I'm going to be at your special. Me, I said, can we do a 2 episodes of Jesus and Jalove before? This is what happened, guys. She literally was like, well, I'm flying in early. I said, great. I'll book your schedule for 4 hours. Let's do at least two or three episodes.
Let's do it. And that's what's happening.
Meanwhile, I got to be on a whole stage very soon.
So we're excited. But we made it happen.
We made it happen. And, for you know, people. I hope you guys think about this moment when you're cussing us out.
when the next episode is late. Okay.
Maybe we do 1 episode a month. No, they will stop us.
They will find where we live and show up at our doorstep and say, so.
No, yeah. By the time the next episode drops, viewership, listenership, down to 2.
They're like, we just quit them. We quit them. You people, give us grace, I beg.
That's another DMS song. Give us grace. Give us grace in this race. Give us grace.
No. Why is Yvonne a goat? She's an everlasting goat, yo.
She means that in a very loving way.
It's in the most lovingest of all ways. Ah. She's a goat.
I don't like the emphasis on that T. She's a goat.
Actually, I was watching a video of... So I was going through the video of you guys surprising me for my bachelorette.
The braggadocious things.
But Bo's in the background. I just hear Bo's foolish goat. Even in the sweetest moments.
Somebody came to my show and they had a foolish goat shirt on. I was so proud. I was like, you too? You're a goat.
You're a goat also?
Yes. Let me brag on Lovey real quick. Yeah. Her skin is just glowing.
Thank you.
No. You know what I'm saying? It's very cold here in this district of Colombia. So it's easy to be ashy. It's very easy. Look at love. Love making her shine. Easy. Look at love and happiness making her shine. Her teeth are white too. Her teeth are white too. Hey, white too.
I used a mask yesterday, you know. A nourishing mask for the face for extra glowing tint. Okay?
Hey, glowing tint. Is it just mask? So that's what you people are calling it these days. I want a mask. Daddy, I want a mask.
This is why she's a goat. You see why she's a goat?
Okay.
So yes, let's focus. So this season, we are talking about unlearning.
Yes.
Okay, because there's many things that we have to unlearn.
I don't know how to unlearn being a goat. So I think that one.
That one we'll never unlearn. That one we will never unlearn. I don't even understand. Don't even consider that we won't even unlearn it.
I'm not trying to aspire to such levels. I know
we can't overpromise like that. I will probably always be a goat. So that's fine.
And a late goat at that.
A very late one.
This one. I'm down the street. Yeah, 5 minutes away. 30 minutes late. No, we were just 5 minutes away, but we are eating. Nick, ma'am.
It's okay. You know what? I already know I'm a late goat.
Me, I was thinking, this one. No, not today.
Not today. I really had good intentions. I did. I really did.
And the way to hell is paved.
Paved. With the goodest of intentions. Just
the most goodest of intentions.
The most goodest of intentions. Okay. One day I'll unlearn being late.
No,
but
you'll go
today.
To heaven. You're not going to hell. You'll go to heaven.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus. Ha! Baba. Baba.
Oh my God, now Yoruba DMX. I can't.
Wait, it's not Yoruba Demon. Yoruba DMX.
DMX.
I like it. That's going to be the name of the album.
In fact, let's pitch it to Netflix. Yoruba DMX. The next Nollywood movie.
Yes. Because it was already Return of Beyonce.
Yes.
Then there was...
Blackberry Babes.
Blackberry, yeah. And then Beyonce versus Sierra.
Have you heard there's one called Namaste Wahala that's coming out?
Which one? That contradicts the whole thing.
Namaste and Wahala. Because it's bringing together a Yoruba person and an Indian person. I want to watch it. In fact, they said it's dropping in 2020.
Namaste
April 2021 or something. Yes. Ah, we are creative people.
It should have just been called Curry Goat. That's what it should have just been called.
Yes!
Why are they trying to put
Curry Goat? That makes sense.
It makes sense.
In fact, why are we not pitching this already?
Give me money.
See, this is why we need to learn how to be unbusy. Because we're already worried think about pitching new things. We're like, ha,
Curry Goat. How can we get money from that? In fact, we'll make our own movie.
And then we can't even help. We can't be helped. We can't just do things for hobbies.
Well, somebody send that to us on Instagram?
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh, I think Did my league post it? I saw it somewhere.
Yes, my league posted it.
And it was just like, you know, it's okay for everything to not be a side hustle.
You know what? We were going to have this episode be about learning something else. Let's just make it be unlearning busy. Let's make it about unlearning how to be busy.
Okay, so what is the proverb?
I wasn't ready for that one yet.
Because she had a problem for the first episode.
For the first episode. But we do need to talk about unlearning being busy, because that's part of the reason why we have such a hard time finding each other.
Great. So while you're looking for the proverb.
Yes, you continue.
We'll be talking. So anyway, the post on IG was just like, you know, it's okay for you to have things that you just enjoy doing, that you are not trying to monetize, that you're not trying to make a profit from. You just enjoy knitting, and you don't want nobody's pillow on anybody's Etsy.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to knit. You know, for stocking stuffers, I'm gonna put a knitted sweatshirt by your Christmas tree. Like that's just what I do for fun. Or I just want to write. I'm not trying to be anybody's stand-up, spoken word artist. I'm not trying to be, you know, have a book deal. I just like to read and write.
Yeah.
And I think we've gotten to such a place where it's like this hustle mentality of like, yo, anything you good at, you know, you got the profit from that. You got to maximize.
That.
You got to
mind.
And it's just like, okay, well, you know, like I remember somebody just took a class. They were like, you know, I don't want to be an actor, but I just want to take an acting class. I think it'd be fun to learn how to just like not be so uptight and, you know, learn acting.
Yeah. I think we're just so programmed to constant. I saw some like Instagram graphic that was like, if it ain't bringing you money, it's not worth your time. Really?
So your whole life is just only doing the things that will bring you money. Listen, and I get it. We all need money. When you don't have it, you do a lot of things to get money.
Yeah.
But like, there's got to be something else. What, like, and this is the real. I've been asked this question.
Yeah.
Someone asked me, what do you do for fun?
Whew.
And I was so sad I didn't have the answer. I was like, I get massages because I'm tired from traveling and my muscles hurt. And then I soak in the bathtub because I'm tired and my muscles hurt. And then I drew a blank. I was like, my life is fun. And then I tried to clean it up. My life is fun. No, ho, what do you do for fun?
For fun.
And I was just like, being honest and truthful, because this is what I told them. I said, I actually need somebody to help me have fun. Like, show me the fun things to do, or to remind me to have fun. Because it's, you know, I was telling a friend of mine, a good friend, Ngozi Operasi, who is the founder of He Free Hair. Yeah, I love He Free Hair. I was telling her, I said, you know, everyone wants to be a boss. Everyone's out here like, yo, I'm trying to be a boss. You're not trying to make boss moves. Being a boss is exhausting.
Yo.
It's very tiresome. And this is not like a brag of those, like, it was easy. No. Seriously, it would be great if all we had to do as bosses is just the work. It'd be great if all I had to do was show up on set and be amazing as an actress, show up on stage and be amazing as a comedian, show up in my house and be isolated writing a book. No, you got to deal with personnel issues. You got to deal with the people like on your. There was that meme. I sent this to my manager recently, and I said, you know, Diddy has this. There was this meme, and Diddy's jumping up and down, and he goes, "I pay too many people
to work this hard."
He said, "And I don't want to do anything because I pay too many people." And I was like, "Yo, I never want to get to the point where I feel like this, because that means it's a problem."
Here's the thing. I think we are always at that point.
But that's it. We are.
We are.
We're constantly at that point. And so when you talk about, like, being a boss, or when you talk about, like, it comes with its own set of things. And so, like, learning how to have fun. Like, I was telling Ngozi, I was like, you know, this tour, it looks good on the gram because mm-hmm. I make it look good on the gram. Did we have a lot of shows? Were a lot sold out? Absolutely. Here's what I didn't know going in, that because I wasn't doing comedy clubs and I was actually doing theaters, that I now had to be a promoter.
Yep.
So any seat that was there is because either word of mouth or you saw something on my IG or I know y'all were tired of me posting about these daggone shows, but I had to because... if y'all don't come into those seats, either the show's going to get canceled or it's just going to be me laughing with five people. And it's just like the stress of that. And then I travel with four people everywhere I go. Then it's like, you're responsible for this. And then that. Y'all, when I tell you, I don't know if I had fun the first half of the tour. Yeah. We did 12 cities. I don't know. Like the first six cities were just like this groundswell of not even fear of just the heavy weight of...
what you have to get done.
Yes, of responsibility. Because it's like, if you are taken out of the equation,
what then happened? What?
And if you're not on top of it, then what? And then it's like you want to be the person that you want to be, but then sometimes you got to become a different version of yourself in that moment. Like, okay, right now I got to be a dude that just doesn't care about your feelings right now.
Ooh.
Or I got to be that person that's like, yeah, okay, I know, it's so sad, I'm so unfortunate. Also, can you please get me the thing I need?
Yep, Yep. So what do you think being busy means?
Did you find the proverb?
You see, okay, there's one that says, a day without hunger is not starvation.
Ooh.
Think about it.
Wait a minute.
A day without hunger. No, a day with hunger is not starvation.
A day with hunger
is not starvation.
Break that down for me.
I interpret that to mean a day when you're not... running yourself ragged does not mean you're failing or dropping the ball on a bunch of things. Like I think part of the reason why we don't know how to not be busy is that we think, wow, so I'm just sitting around. There's something I'm supposed to be doing. I should be doing something. Then we feel bad about it.
Yeah.
Then we're like, oh, there's some emails I haven't responded to. Oh, there's a deck I should be working on right now. Oh, I should be promoting this thing. And then we feel guilty.
We feel guilty for resting.
That's real.
That's absolutely
real life. Real life.
It's like the day I have nothing. I was like, I'm gonna have nothing on my agenda. Ha! I wish nothing on my agenda. I remember just being like, so I'm just really supposed to just like watch TV for like 10 hours, and that be okay? What if I should I read a book? And then in my mind, I just started thinking about, like you said, everything that I could be doing in these hours of freedom. Like, I could catch up.
Yeah,
I could catch up. Nothing died. Nothing died.
We're literally not surgeons. We are not heart surgeons. Nobody's dying when we're not doing something.
And you know what? Other people might not have been doing something while we were not doing it. And that's fine, because the next day when we get back to doing it, everybody back on the same page.
Yep. And when we talk about, like, even like recording Jesus and Jalove, how busy we are, how, yes, it's one of those things where people are like, you know, this is the moment that I prayed for. But the moment that you pray for also needs to not feel like you're on a rat wheel. Like on the wheel that's just like, I can't get off it, because if I get off it, I'm gonna fall behind. And if I fall behind, I fall further behind. Which is like, yeah, I have a problem just sitting at home watching TV. When people are like, oh my God, have you watched Love is Blind on Netflix? Have you watched Pose? I'm over here like, they're on my list.
I'm like, so you guys are just watching TV? But you have a whole series that y'all finishing. Tell me more.
I have to tell myself, in order for me to watch TV, I actually have to pause and say, listen, we're going to not do anything today.
Yeah.
And we're not going to feel bad about it.
Yeah.
And if anybody's angry about whatever you did not do today, they're just going to have to deal.
There is a proverb, not an African proverb, but a biblical proverb.
Yes.
Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessings of the Lord makes you rich, and he adds no sorrow to it.
Mm.
Do you know how many times I have to remind myself of that? Like, yo, God did not bring me here to bless me, and then I'm just mad, or yes. I'm just disappointed, or I'm just working so hard that I can't even enjoy the blessing. It's like, no, the blessing of the Lord is going to come. It's going to make you rich. But if there's added sorrow, that's not from God. If there's added sorrow, if you're just mad all the time, or if you're just, you know, working so hard all the time and you don't even get to see God's hand, or you're not even able to go back and be like, thank you, man, I appreciate that, then that's a problem.
Yeah.
Niecy Nash says it this way. She said, you know, the devil can't stop God from blessing you,
ooh,
but he can't alter how you feel in the moment.
Ooh.
So the blessing gonna come, But you can be blessed and feel like you're not doing anything with your life.
Yep.
You can be killing the game. My therapist, literally, I don't know if I said this in the first episode, but my therapist literally was like, hey, question. If you had a friend that had a comedy special and a comedy tour, do you think they would be successful? I was like, yeah, absolutely. She's like, okay, great. And you had a friend that was on a very successful series, would you be happy for? I was like, they're killing the game. Okay, great. And you had a friend that had a book deal, like in that, you know, how would you feel? I was like, man, that's such a hard thing to do, and I'd be so proud of them. She said, do you realize you have all three?
Yeah.
And I was like, but I'm not doing enough.
Right.
She was like, I am going to take all your money.
My therapist had a similar moment with me. She was like, if you had a friend who was like feeling overwhelmed, what would you tell them? And I was like, I'll tell them to slow down, that you know what? They should prioritize themselves.
Yeah.
She's just like, have you thought about telling yourself the same thing? I said,
So this reverse psychology.
Just
anyhow.
Leading me like this with my own words. Just anyhow.
Gingerly shutting me down.
Shutting me down like this. It's because we're so used to the ways that we talk to ourselves
This is very Nigerian.
We're not that kind to each other. To ourselves. We might be kind to other people, but we don't be kind to ourselves at all.
I had somebody say to me, you gotta learn to be nice to you. And I was like, Drake, nice for what? And it hit me because I was like, you don't think that you're not nice, you're not nice to yourself, but every time that you betray your desires, yeah. Every time that you betray your body telling you like, hey, ho, sit down
for a second.
Or whatnot. Like my therapist said, she said, it feels like you're putting in 110%. I was like, yes. I was like, because why not? Because what else am I going to do? She said, but then you're at the end of the day, you're frustrated because you're probably going to get like 90% of results.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. So she was like, well, if you put in 80% and still get 90%, what do you think about that? And the only thing I heard was 80% is a B minus. literally.
Ma'am.
I was like, 80%. I said, so what will I be doing for the other, you know, 20 to...
Maybe realizing.
That's what she said. And I'm
maybe realizing.
And I'm like, but my thing, and it's all fear-based.
Yes.
The reality of it, being busy is a fear of missing out. Fear of failing.
Fear of being forgotten.
It's all fear. And it's like, you don't realize, because it's like, I'm not a fearful person, but it's just like, yeah, well, I'm afraid. This is what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid that if I stop for any moment or for any reason, the ball is going to get dropped. It's going to be harder for me on the back end to like make up for. So I would rather just go to the end of the situation, see how we could end up bad, rework it back in the front, then run faster so that we avoid problems. But the reality is problems arise anyway.
Right. They're going to come. So you might be constantly bracing for the problem, or you might just relax. I know for me... relax. What is relaxing?
Relax.
What you mean relax?
You want something more than just physical. It's been a while since you had... You know, that's my joy. And you hate what... So you relax. What you mean relax?
So for me... So you made a good point about the FOMO. Let's talk about the FOMO of it all, right? Mm-hmm. So in the busyness of it all, then there's the optional things that are like events and networking, right? Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, oh. I was invited. I got an email 2 days ago to this like private dinner.
Ooh.
That's in LA. And me, already tired. I'm instantly like, I want to go.
So you got a dinner to a private, you got an invitation to a private dinner in LA. Me, I live in LA. I did not get any emails. Eh,
you probably didn't check your email because you've been busy. I'm pretty sure you got invited to the same one. Pretty sure.
We got to unlearn jealousy.
So this one.
You're just talking about how you're coming to my own place, my own town.
Oh, no. I'm not sure if I'm coming. No, because I got the email and already my manager is like, listen, I have to shut you down because you have to finish your manuscript. So I get this email and you see how FOMO already cashed me. FOMO has already cashed me. I was like, well, you know, it's okay. Maybe I can go to LA for 2 days. It's okay. I can make it happen. And the moment in my head, I'm over here like, ma'am, madame.
Sit down.
Be humble. It was like Kendrick Lamar was in my head like, auntie, sit down, be humble.
The prophetic word of Kendrick.
Literally, I was like, I have to stop the FOMO of like missing cool events that
Because they'll come around. They'll come around again.
They'll come back.
And you know what? You'll see those same people.
Same people.
At another cool event.
I just saw them at Essence Black Women in Hollywood 2 weeks ago. Why am I feeling FOMO already for this one? Like... I just, the phone will really be catching me about stuff. I'm like, I can go for one day. It's okay. I can take an 8-hour flight for one day and roll right back on.
And here's the thing. You said at some point you have to stop and ask yourself, what am I doing this for again? Because
yeah.
I don't know where I was telling the story, but I remember it was after season one. And now, mind you, here's the thing. So I'm going to take you back to 5 years ago. And the thing that I had been praying so hard for came. I got my big break. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I remember after we wrapped, I was like, yeah, you know, because I'm going to just start speaking. Because, you know, it's like I had my life built up. So it was like all God had to do was open the door and Yvonne Orji is running through. Like, just gangbusters. We will not miss a single opportunity, right? So I was like, yeah, I got to make sure my speaking agents got, you know, speaking on deck because I want to go to colleges. I want to da-da-da-da-da. And Jay Ellis, God bless his heart, he said, pace yourself. You know, you're going to get real busy. Just pace yourself. And me, the Nigerian, he doesn't know my life. Why is he? Just because he's being blue on another show. Because Jay was the only one that has, like, been on a series regular on another show. So I was like, because he has been making money all this time, he can't just tell me to pace myself. He doesn't know my life. Me, I'm going to be running. I'm a Nigerian girl. In fact, there's a pail of water on my head. There's a baby on my back. We are going. Yeah, when I tell you, I started doing a speaking tour, and I was just wearing myself down to get money. But it was just like I had not. There were times I had prayed to get like $200, and I was now getting like 1,000. I was like, I will come. Because why not? And it didn't stop until one of the college kids, said so. So what are you doing like a college tour? Like what is this for? And I was just like,
you didn't even know what it was
for. I didn't know. Me, I was like, it's for my bank account to never get back to zero. It's for me to never get an overdraft fee again. That's what this is for. And it was literally the blessings of the Lord maketh you rich, but he adds no sorrow to it. It's like I was getting the riches, but it was filled with sorrow. Mm. And it took somebody to literally ask me. It was a very simple question. What are you doing this for?
Your why.
And I was like, I don't know.
Your why. And I always tell people that we have to always keep our whys in mind, because what happens when you get blessed is, so it's funny, usually, so you go from one day being like, Chai, I need $4, to all of a sudden one day being like, I pay people like the money that I wish I had. Yeah. Okay, now I'm paying somebody that. And it sometimes will happen very quickly. The one day you blink and you'll be like, whoa,
yeah.
2 years passed by, life has changed considerably. Mm-hmm. So then what happens is you're like, okay, I got to keep this going.
And
I
got to
keep this going. It's fear-based because it's like, okay, if I fall behind, what happens then?
Or like, what if God takes it away tomorrow? What kind of God is he? And also like, then the same God that took it away, he can bring it back. It's like sometimes we have to have like an Abraham like mentality. It's like Abraham waited so long to have Isaac. Like this fool was 100 and something years old, had Isaac, and then God's like, cool, now go sacrifice him.
Mm.
And it's like, I'll come again. And it's like, yeah, no, go take the baby. Or he's actually, at this point, Isaac was full grown because they walked up this mount together. Go take Isaac, lay him down as an offering and kill him. And there's something that we all have to realize about Abraham. It's like, because, you know, you remember Ishmael and Abraham, like, slept with his, you know, Hagar or whoever. But this is what we all need to tap into. Abraham didn't ask nobody's questions. He was like, hey, Isaac, let's take a father-son camping trip. Then where we go, just ask, talk less, you know. don't ask so many questions. And then when he was about to sacrifice him, God was like, no, we're good. You passed the test. Here's a ram in the bush. But here's what I feel that's not in the Bible. There's no, you know.
It's your theory. Okay.
You're so silly. Abraham had to feel like, if I waited 100 years for this hoe, the God that's telling me to kill him is the same God that brought him to me without Viagra, without Sarah freezing her eggs.
Correct.
Without, you know, any kind of medical intervention. This man can bring another full-grown baby.
And I think part of the reason why he was able to do that is because he knew the why, right? To honor God. And in our journey, knowing the reason why you do what you do is going to keep you grounded in the moments when you're tired, in the moments when you're unsure.
In the moments when you want to compromise.
Facts.
In the moments where your integrity is just...
So you know why I'm going to say dinner, no to that dinner? Because my why... So to go to the dinner, what I will accomplish is... It's a dinner honoring people who are doing great things in industry. Okay, cool. What I'll accomplish is the ego boost of being honored, taking some really great pictures.
Flexing on the gram.
Flexing on the gram, right? But my why is my work is to inspire people to use their voice, is to make people think critically, to make people laugh. Does this dinner fulfill my why? The answer is no. So then why will I now kill myself trying to go?
And also, you've been honored. Oprah got you in the top 50, the first class. I don't think Oprah had another class after y'all.
She hasn't.
Exactly. So, you've been honored. Okay, we on that side. You got a whole second book deal. You know what I'm saying? Your book is still number someone's one on the New York Times bestseller list.
But that's what happens when also the blessings come, right? Because you get distracted. You get distracted
I'm ready to drink my water.
In fact, you get distracted by all the things that's actually not for you, right? So it's like when you walk into the candy store and you're eating all the candy. Yeah, it's sweet. You're like, that's my favorite candy. Let me get a sneak out by. Let me get Milky Way. In fact, let me get the blow pop over there. And then the Warheads. Okay, great. And it's sweet as you're eating it. And then all of a sudden you have a stomach ache. So even good things, there can be too many of it. And it distracts you from what you might have come for toilet paper. You got distracted by the candy.
Good is the enemy of great.
Good is the enemy of great.
And while we're on that topic, there's a lot of people dating good people that are not great guys or great girls for them.
That's a different episode.
It's a different episode, but good is the enemy. But he's okay. He's good. He's nice.
No. It's a distraction.
It's a distraction.
We have to figure out what the distractions are and what the things that we're supposed to do are. And I think that's why it's important to always keep your why in mind. Like, if you got to write down why it is that you do the thing that you do. Yvonne, what is your why? Why are you doing these things?
My full name means Archer of Happiness, Daughter of a King. Yes. I know that my purpose is to infiltrate the airways and infuse God's goodness and my joy into the airways.
Boom.
Whichever airways that is.
Boom. So when Yvonne, you get an opportunity like, Yvonne, we would love for you to do this thing. It's going to be next week. We're going to need you there for about 36 hours. 36 hours. But we're also going to pay you a lot.
Oh, see, money doesn't move me.
Correct.
See, oh, GC.
There it is.
Lovette already knows. Mm-hmm. Me, I have canceled six figures. High six, my fact. I was like, huh? Because I was just like, one, this does not fit in my brand. Yep. At one point, one of the many times I've canceled a six-figure deal, I was like, I don't like it. Or I don't like how they're positioning me. Because sometimes you have to curate people to see you different. So it's like, I need them to see me not as this, but as this. So I'm going to pass. And then another time was an integrity check. I had already said yes to something else. And it was for something big. And then my agent, God bless her, she was like, do you want to know how much it is? I should have said no.
But you would have been more busy.
But I would have been more busy because it was like, it was immediately like, well, I could fit this in. I could fit, okay, if I moved it. And it was just like trying to figure it out. And after a while, I just said, hey, listen, I already committed to this other thing. I know this paycheck would be great for both of us, your commission and my mortgage payment. But hopefully if I keep doing my job right, more opportunities like this will come. With a bigger payday.
Come on.
And my agent was like, I love you. But what that was is like, I get you. You have trained me, because every relationship is train or be trained. You have trained me to know what you prioritize.
But what you said no to was because it wasn't right for you.
Yes.
It was just one, added extra busy for you.
There was definitely one that I said no to that. But it's a muscle that you have to train. I said yes to something today that I don't want to go to anymore. I was so mad. And it's like,
you can always say no.
But here's the thing. I have to work on not betraying myself. That's what I'm...
Ooh, say that again.
I have to work on not betraying myself, betraying my gut. Whenever I'm like, I don't know if I want to do that on that day, I should just be like, I don't want to do it. And if it comes up and I should do it, then we'll figure it out.
Because somebody says if it's not a hell yes, it's a no.
Hey,
if it's not a hell yes, it is a no.
It was just so many things to try and figure out. And, you know, because I'm people pleasing. That's another episode. We're going to talk about how to unlearn people pleasing. But for me, I was just like, all right, well, I mean, God, wow, would that be nice? And they're honoring me. And da, da, da. Man, I'm so tired. I don't have clothes for this thing. I just do my own makeup. I look at my, do I have to say anything? Like, all the things I don't want to do, I'm doing right now. Like, in this moment. And that's betraying yourself.
And the betray yourself is so real. Like, there are moments where I'll tell my manager, or I'm about to say yes to something. Because so my manager has been charged, she doesn't just negotiate my work and make sure I, you know, do these things and she'll make sure everyone get the requirements I need. She's also now become my busy manager.
Ha! I love it. I need a busy manager.
She's my business manager and my busy manager. She'll be like, yeah, so we got this inbound opportunity, and she'll instantly be like, I think it's a no for you. She'll tell me it's a no for me.
Yeah.
And I have to convince her that it's a yes for her to be like, okay.
Yeah.
And that's great because somebody else is looking and being like, I need you to stop being so busy. I need you to be more focused.
That's what I need.
Part of the reason why we are busy all the time is we are trying to collect everything. We're trying to say yes, yes, yes. Ooh, that. Ooh, shiny coin. It's called the shiny squirrel syndrome. No, shiny penny syndrome or squirreling.
Ooh.
You know how
squirrels... Are you a squirrel?
Yeah, are you squirreling? Well, you know when like your head is just going back and forth.
Oh, true.
How like squirrels
y'all
do?
Y'all should see Levy in the...
You know how just squirrels just look crazy?
Yes.
We end up looking like squirrels. Why are you everywhere?
Google a YouTube video of a squirrel looking around.
Looking
right
around.
Now.
That is exactly what I'm doing. One of our friends...
But wait, before you move on, hold that thought. Because 2 years ago, you told me that you had a system... A 5-point system of like, should you do something? And then you told me that system don't work for you no more.
Yes.
I think.
Let's talk about that. So.
Talk about what the system was.
So my system, I got to the point where.
Because you said this on one of our episodes too.
I did. And people actually still quote it. But when you get busy and when you start getting these blessings, now you start getting opportunities where all the opportunities make sense.
Yeah.
All of it actually fits your purpose. All of it fits the work that you want to do. Mm. So now what do you do when it's all actually making sense and everything sounds like a yes opportunity, but there's only one you? I decided I need to quantify my decision-making process. I got to make it easier to figure out what things are no, what things are yes.
Yes.
Without having to labor it and be like, ah, I'm still thinking about it. No, quantifying everything. So I decided to come up with 5 questions that I would use as my criteria to determine what I say yes to and what I say easy no's to.
Yeah.
And for me to say yes to something, the opportunity had to be 3 yeses out of the 5 questions. So let me tell you the 5 questions. 1, will I enjoy it? 2, does this pay my fee? 3, is it something new or different that allows me to grow or like build some type of skill set that I don't currently have? 4, does this put me in front of a larger audience? Mm-hmm. And then 5, does this elevate my profile? Those last 2 sound like the same, but they're different because a larger audience might be me speaking in front of 10,000 people. Mm. But does it elevate my profile? It might be a room that's just 3 of us. And it might be Richard Branson and Oprah and Ava DuVernay.
Yeah, and that's,
right?
Hey, so, 3 are more than 1,000.
Yes, yes.
Welcome.
Yes, welcome. So for me, I was like, I would like literally write down each of these answers for every opportunity that I got, and if it had 2 yeses out of the 5, it's an automatic no, we're not even debating it.
Yeah.
But if it had 3, okay, yes. But then it got to a point where I had more than 3 yeses all the time.
Yeah.
So now I was like, okay, I got to add more questions to this, but the questions have to be odd numbers because you don't want to have a tiebreaker, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that was, that's still my first point.
What did you add?
Is this convenient for me?
Ooh, that's the thing. It's okay to want something to be comfortable.
Comfortable.
It's okay.
I need to be comfortable. Do I have to now take 3 flights to get there? And am I flying for 36 hours?
Because when you are busy, here I know we're on learning busy, but when you are busy, time is money.
Time is money.
Convenience is welfare. Right?
Yes.
So if you are going to get there and you be drained, what's the point?
What's the point? So that was like the question I added. And then the other is, does this further my purpose?
Hey, you people, I'm going to sit here and drink hot cocoa. ponder that and come back.
Does this further my purpose?
What?
If it's not further my purpose, why am I going? Why is this a part of my work? At the end of the day, will I look back on it and say, that was a good use of my time? Because every day that I do that thing, that is not my purpose, it's one day that I'm doing something I'm not supposed to be doing.
And here's the thing, again, and I think that goes back to, you said it's one day I'm not doing the thing I'm supposed to be doing.
Yep.
And I think we're also talking about, even in doing the things that you're supposed to be doing,
yep,
how do we unlearn the busy of it
all? The busy of it all.
So, I mean, I want y'all to know, we don't have all the answers, Sway.
We don't.
We are trying to unlearn everything we're talking about with y'all, but at least we're bringing the awareness of the things that we need to unlearn, because the worst part of it is people don't know that they have to unlearn. Like, people are just walking around like, well, that's just me. Well, who is me? Who is the person you call me?
Who is me?
Because me is getting you just in the hospital with hypertension.
The moment I knew I had to slow down was one day 2 years ago. I was about to do a seven cities in 21 days, speaking engagements. I was keynoting. Loved it. They all fit my purpose. Things I was excited about. It paid my fee. I was going to be making a lot of money in this 3 weeks.
Where were the seven cities?
I can't even remember.
Dubai. France.
Yeah, I know, serious. And I remember the day before I left, I started crying. I literally was sobbing. That's and I was funny. Like, I don't want to go. Because I had like a meltdown. I was like, I don't want to go. I just want to sit on the couch. I'm tired. Because I had burned out.
Yeah.
And I remember one of the days, it was after going to the airport and my flight being delayed, and I wept in the middle of the airport.
That's
like
a real G, a real thug like Lovette.
Cried.
Crying.
I was like, I just want to be in my bed. Why am I still here?
So what happened?
So I actually called my manager. I did the 7 days and I was like, I'm going to do this, but cancel everything I have for the next month. Mm-hmm. Everything. I said, I'm taking all of July off. Don't even look at me to be on anybody's stage. I'm sitting on my couch for a month. And she was like, okay. And for me, as somebody who's, I like to be a woman of my word. If I sign a contract, I like to honor. If I say I'm going to be somewhere, I like to be that. So that was really tough for me to be like, call everybody, tell them I'm not going to be able to do it, return whatever deposits needs to be returned. For my well-being, I have to make this decision.
Because the reality is, while you fit everybody's desire and program and all that things, like, it's like everybody, yes, we want you. It's like, but everything can't fit. Everyone's pulling at you, but you're one person.
One person.
So if everyone's pulling at you and you have nothing to give to all of these tugs, then what? So yes, while it sucks to be like, man, I can't do this. I want to, but I can't. You have to, again, not betray yourself.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, like I said, we're learning this with you, so we may not have all the tools, but here are some practical either questions you can ask yourself, or here are some practical things that we have done to unbusy our lives. And again, work in progress. Again, therapy is essential.
There's that. There's also telling the people around you, like even telling your friends and saying, listen, I know I'd be doing too much. I want to give you access to my calendar. I need you to flag me if you see my calendar looking insane. If you're like, Yvonne,
if you get tired looking at my calendar,
call me out and be like, listen, ma'am. So I have my manager now who does that. I have my husband who does that. He'd be like, wow.
And I think let's focus on that point for a little bit, because now you are like the dimensions have shifted. I'm a single girl with no husband, no
why
children.
Why is this stupid?
Nobody to keep me warm at night. Nobody to call and check in. If my phone doesn't ring, it's okay.
Yvonne is...
Let me just look like this foolish goat. It's okay, but I'm very happy. I'm very happy. But you were in a new season.
Yeah.
And the busy love... Pre-September married lovey...
Yeah.
...could be as busy as she want to be because she out here in these streets.
In these streets.
Collecting these checks and cashing them.
Correct.
Now she's in Missy Somebody's wife.
I actually have to care about somebody else's feelings and pay attention to them.
How does busy change in this season?
It forced me to slow down. I had to make the decision.
Did marriage force you to slow down, or your husband force you to slow down? What's the difference?
He didn't force me to slow down. He didn't tell me to skip nobody's speaking engagements. I was compelled to.
What? Unpack that.
Because it goes back down to being selfish, right? Learning how selfish I've been. My life is no longer just mine, right? In a way where before I can come, go with... Hey, it's not like I'm asking him for permission, but knowing that I care about this man, I actually want to see him more often, right? Making the decision of, am I also being busy because of my ego?
Ooh.
Right? I love being able to be like, oh, I have 4 places to go next week. It makes me sound important. Am I actually...
Self-realization is so important in this season, guys. You gotta know the things that make you amazing. You also gotta know the things that make you a little quirky.
A little quirky. And
own it.
Sometimes busy is about having a big ass ego.
It sounds good to be like, oh, I can't come to that event.
I can't come to that.
I really have, I gotta go on this yeah party with Kanye. It's crazy.
Sorry,
I
mean,
and then
sorry.
It's an election year, and so you I'm know. Campaigning for one of the candidates, and then I'm just like, what? Uncle, what?
You're right. It's a lot of ego attached to it. So I had to check myself and be like, am I doing this for ego? Because if I was to miss that speaking engagement, does that mean I can't pay my rent? No. Mm-hmm. Does that mortgage? Does that mean, right. okay, that in itself, because we're busy, because we're like, oh, I got to make more money.
And Biggie was, if any of you don't know, Biggie was prophetic. When he said more money, more problems.
More problems.
He meant it. He was very serious.
He was serious.
You may be in a season where you can't necessarily see it, because you're like, I just don't have the more money part. Just, yeah. I don't mind the problems. Give me the more money part.
Yeah.
But no, with it comes new responsibilities.
Right.
With it comes new decisions.
Right.
Like you said, different time. Because now it's not about like, am I just doing this to get a check? It's like, wish check.
Yeah. And also the decisions to make. Like, so for example, now, because we're in a position where we are not poor like we used to be, sometimes you have to make a decision between, you know, am I going to be really, really busy all the time, gone all the time, miss all my friends' important events and family events? Or do I now start to shift that priority a little bit? I used to be the girl who was gone most of the time. Yeah. I'd miss baby showers. I'd miss, you know, certain weddings. I'd miss birthday parties, all in the name of busy. Mm-hmm. And I'm missing these important times in people who I love's life. Yeah. So,
and what they remember most is your presence.
Your presence.
They don't remember the book signing.
Yeah.
They don't remember the comedy show. They remember you made time for me in the midst of everything you had going on.
Unlearning the busy comes down to actually showing up. Again, back to that bachelorette party y'all did for me. I was like, all of these people are busy. All of them. And what made it so special, that's why I was like, I didn't even care where it was. Y'all literally took 6 days where you could be on somebody's stage, reading a script, auditioning, filming a movie, you know, in front of investors, and y'all were there. So moments like that made me realize that I have to learn to build the business and to build a life that's not built around me constantly jumping on a plane to make money and sustain.
That's real. And the thing about it, and we're not telling you that you're not going to have seasons, because just like there's four seasons in a year, there's, if you're a farmer, you there's a planting season.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to be planting. You be messing around planting. Like, in this planting season, me, I want to just relax. I want to sow. I want to reap.
No.
It's a planting season. You can't reap in the planting season. You got to plant in the planting season.
Yeah.
And so there are going to be times like this. This for sure was my busy season. I'm like...
No, you are in harvest season.
Is it harvest? I feel like I don't know what season.
You're harvesting because all the work that you've done all these years is now coming to bear. But the problem is...
The harvest is also busy.
The harvest is busy.
Because you got to go out and...
The corn can't spoil. I have to...
For sure.
Yeah.
You know what? You need a good friend. Because she just reminded you. You're absolutely right. Because we think that like in harvest is just sitting back and just like, look at what God has done. No. You got to, like you said, you got
to after the harvest that you can rest.
That's it. Because I will rest.
You will rest. Y'all sleep. Take a nap.
But it's like you have to understand, like I've told all my friends, like, hey, this is a season where if you see me, you see me. But if you can't, if you don't, it's
I love you.
I love you. But at the same time, I say, please don't stop reaching out. Please call me on the carpet. Tell me what I can do for you.
I think this is the least meeting Yvonne I've actually talked in a while.
It is.
Right?
It is.
We get it.
But we get it. Because we're the same person. It really is. Because we used to talk all the time.
All the time.
And I also, too, I know whenever I have friends that get married, I'm super respectful of, like, their new season. Because especially as newlyweds, you need that moment. I mean, you may be like, that's my own thing. It's like, I don't like calling people because my mom would work overnight. And then during the day, she would sleep. And I hated when the people would call the house because it would wake my mom up. It was pre-cell phones. So me calling is just like, did I bother you? Like it's like my own preconceived things. But I also know that when someone gets married, you shift into a new season. And you need that space to allow them to be this thing.
Yeah.
And not feel any type of way, because it's like, no, you hope that they will give you that same respect when it's your turn. You know what I mean? Because you're learning a whole new person in a whole new way.
And you're learning yourself.
And you're learning yourself. And like, you know, even when you were dating, oh boy, because we'll go unmentioned, could have been like, oh yeah, I love it when you and Yvonne talk for 8 hours. As a married man, he may not say, I hate it when you and Yvonne talk for 8 hours.
Right.
He knows we are these people.
We are these people.
But there may be a moment where it's like, well, you're my wife now. I want to just cuddle. Mm-hmm. I want four of those 8 hours. Right. We never talked for 8 hours, by the way. But you
maybe
know
four. It's
yes,
possible.
We definitely talked for 4 hours.
Yeah, we definitely talked 4 hours.
But you know
in our bonnets.
And you don't even want to get there to where he's like, I'm just saying though, can you and Yvonne stop talking? But Lovey is right. We have not talked for...
But you've been busy. So it's like respecting that, but also kind of watching our friends have their harvest season.
Because she did call me in her watching and be like, I'm tired of your schedule. I was like, well, I'm just tired of it. I was like, what?
I'm fed up.
I was like, why should it be? Because it's making me tired. You're and fine. I'm like, Lovey, I don't even know where are you calling me from? I was like, what country are you in? It's just, at least it's just one country, but you are in how many other cities? I'm like, okay.
No, it's great. Great, but I think there's a game-changing conversation that I had about me being busy. It changed my life.
Who'd you have it with?
With my mentor, Tashonda Brown Duckett, who is CEO of Chase Retail Banks.
Black woman. She's amazing.
Black woman, amazing fire. So a couple of years ago, it was 2018. It was October 2018. It was at the end of like a 12-city speaking tour that I had in like 6 weeks, some crazy. So she was like, when you're in New York, let's have dinner. So we go to dinner. Bro, I was useless at dinner. I was just so tired that I was at dinner just I had no energy. And she's like, okay. So I'm thinking we're going to be talking about like work, like what are you doing next?
Mm-mm.
She said, let's talk. What's going on? And I was like, I'm exhausted.
Mm.
And she said, okay, let's talk about this. And she goes, what percent of your time right now do you think you're spending on work? And I was like, probably like 70% right now. She said, okay, let me break it down to you like this. She said, think of your life as a portfolio. I said, huh.
Okay.
She said, you have 100% allocation, right? That's all you have is 100.
Okay. Right? School me.
She said, okay, let's break it down like this. Your portfolio only has 100. It's a finite number. Yup. Okay. So let's say you're saying you spend 70% of your time right now on work. That means 70% of your portfolio is work. I was like, yeah, right. She was like, okay, that means 30% left. She said, so what percent of that is for friends? And I was like, maybe 5. She's like, all right. What percent is for your partner? Yeah, maybe about 10. Okay, cool.
Dang.
What percent is for family? All right, maybe 5. Okay, so what percent is left for you? So after I was like, okay, about 3% at that point. She said, okay, let's break it down like this. Since you like visuals, think about if the market gets volatile. She said, and 70% of your portfolio is on one asset.
On one effing asset.
And it tanks. She said, what happens if that asset tanks? You lose 70%. Okay, so you only have that 30% left? Okay, well...
But then how does that work when that 70 is what? Finances or...
Work. So let's say you fill... So you're spending 70% of time at work. What happens when you get fired? Okay? 70% of your time at work...
Your kids don't know your name.
Correct.
Your friends don't...
Because you hadn't allocated your portfolio in the way you should. She said, what do you want your life to look like? What percent of your portfolio do you want it to look like for work? I said, honestly, 25%. She's like, okay. There might be seasons where you have to be at 70% for like a month.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But she was like, you got to constantly look at your portfolio. What is your life portfolio looking like? I said, wow.
Wait, what is your life portfolio looking like? Again, we're going to just pause and let y'all...
I said,
what?
No,
I'm like, this is good for us. I'm like, we over here doing the episode. I'm like,
When she broke it down, she was like, your portfolio is too volatile. She was like, any finance person would tell you, this portfolio is not balanced at all.
So how does that work with the people who are like, you know, hustle hard, you know, can't stop, won't stop? Because Diddy told me, can't stop, won't stop.
You know what can't stop, won't stop happens? When you fail at a project or something that is on a professional level, feels like it tanks, it knocks you out. It means you're less, like, it knocks you on your ass.
Because essentially what that means is your whole entire being is locked up, not in who you are, but in what you do.
In what you do.
So if you stop doing the thing that is, because, I mean, this is all part of unlearning, right?
Correct.
Unlearning that your worth is not tied into your worth.
When she came on my other podcast, she made this quote of, she said, my title is rented. My title is CEO of Chase Retail Banks. Mm. That's rented. Mm. She said, what I own is my name.
Shonda. How said Tashonda.
Tashonda, let me call you real quick.
She said, can we all go out your to title, the things that we do in our lives are titles that we rent. Mm-hmm. Me as a writer, as a speaker, that's a title. Yeah. I rent that. At any given time, it can change.
Yeah.
Who we are, what we need to put child a of lot God. Of stock in.
Child of God, daughter child of God.
Correct.
Daughter of Selena Michael.
Correct. That's yeah. who you, that is stuff you own. Right now, comedian, that's a rented title. Mm-hmm. You don't own that. What you own is your name.
Yeah.
But we put everything, we put the busy in the thing we're renting.
Auntie, is this in your book? Are you putting this in chapter 3? What's happening? If it's, we put, say that again.
We put everything in what we're renting. Dang, which is what
and,
we do.
And that's what a lot of people are doing in actual real life.
Yeah.
Because y'all here renting stuff.
Yeah.
And not owning.
The stuff that you own is what you should put all the stuff in, like the stock into. How are you showing up as a sister, as a friend, as a wife, as a cousin,
and
as
really,
a
those
niece.
Are the only things you can control.
And you can't even barely control that. But yeah. at least you put, that is the stuff that will hold you in the moments when you might lose the rented title.
You're right. And when the market hit or yeah. crashed in 2008, a lot of people don't know who they were.
Correct.
Not they had to unlearn the title.
Yep.
And learn anew, who am I? What do I like? What do I want? That's what so many people started their own businesses.
Yep.
Because they started learning.
But that's also why people, when they start their business and the business for some reason tanks, they take it as a self failure.
Yeah.
I have failed at life. Mm. It's because they put so much into what they were doing as opposed to who they are.
But here's the thing. It doesn't even take people failing
true
for them to think like they are a failure. You can be, there's so many successful people failing yep. right now.
Yep.
Because even in the success of it all, you are, by everybody's standards, super successful.
Yeah.
But you don't have the joy that comes with it. You don't have the peace that comes with it. You don't have the happiness. You don't have the friends because you've all these friends because it's like, why, you know, to what does it profit a man to gain the world
and lose his soul?
And you on this mountain by yourself.
There's this quote that my league posted recently about how a lot of times we set goals, and then when we hit the goal, as opposed to staying there and being content with it, we're like, okay, what's next? Mm. We strive for more. We're constantly striving for more.
I'm raising my hand because present company is right here. Like, I literally. It's only when I'm quiet in my room and I think about the blessings of God yeah. lately
yeah.
that I start crying.
Mm.
Because the reality is like, man, God, we're so tight. When I was poor, all I had was him. Mm. It was so easy to commune. It was so easy to fellowship. I had nothing else going on. Then when the busy came, it what you said earlier, it's like, oh, I got to keep going because, you know, yeah. God can tell me to, you know, move left any moment. So while I'm here, let me keep going straight. And then it's like, hold on. God is not a genie or like a evil scientist. Like, he's right. not like, I gave it to you and I'm going to take it back. Ha! You know, like, he's like, just keep trusting me. You know, make sure that you have my heart and not just looking out for my hand.
Mm.
And you know what I mean? Because a lot of times we say we want God's heart, but really we're like, no, God, we want your hand because your hand is what's releasing the blessing.
What's giving me stuff.
And just give me, because he's not a genie and we need to learn that. But I had to learn. We're all, man, when I tell you we are all learning, I was listening to, Pastor Stephen has this message. It's called, I'll tell you right now because I just sent it to like 5 different people, Your Season to Succeed. It is part of the Kingdom Clout series. So it's Your Season to Succeed. It's Elevation Church. You can look at it on YouTube. But he was talking about the best definition of being blessed is actually Psalm 1:1-3.
Okay.
And that's blessed, which he put as happy. So happy is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. And he just goes on to all the things that the guy is doing. And at the end, it says that, let's see, I wrote it down here. It says, y'all read it. How does the thing end? Well, he says, the scripture ends in a different way. He said, God will give you success. But God, Pastor Stephen said, you got to know the difference between being well-known and widely known.
Mm.
You got to know the difference between fruitfulness and famous.
Mm.
Because a lot of people are trying to be famous but are not bearing any good fruit.
Nope.
And you want to be wide, because he was like, Jesus was not, he was not widely known.
He was well known.
He was well known.
Facts. Yeah.
Oh, was it one or the other? Anyway, you know, you get the point. Because it was just, and he said, if you're judging success, he said, by the world's success, Jesus was a failure.
Because he was poor.
He's all the things. And when he died, he was like, yo, this is how crazy it was. When Jesus died, all his followers hit unfollow.
Yeah.
All his followers hit unsubscribe.
Wow.
And it's like, oh, okay. But we want to be this thing. But the person who is literally the person, you know, if you believe as such, was not popular. His teachings were not popular.
Nope.
But yet he was sent by the, you know what I'm saying?
He did that, you know, Jesus story is that whole, like, people don't really value your work until you die.
Hey.
All of a sudden they're like, ah, man, that was good. Man, was it?
Was it good?
Was it good?
Yes. Oh, and the other thing that Pastor Stephen talked about in this message, which is something that I struggle with.
Okay.
Is he said, so many of us are just going around the mulberry bush trying to get people to get us. He said, they're not going to get you. Like, and it's not their job to get you. You're a peculiar person. You're like, it's just like, why don't they just get me? Do you think they got Jesus? They didn't get Jesus. Like, so you the son of God.
I see.
You just out here performing wonders and miracles. And but the Pharisees were like, no, we know, we read the Bible. Okay. We know. And it's like, yeah, I am the Bible, my nigga. Like, I am he. And it's just like, he was like, you spend so much of your time trying to get people to get you. And, you know, and then you're busy. You spend so much of your time trying to be busy so that you can get the approval. It's just, like, man, that is bleeding into the next episode we're going to do.
Because we're going to do that. But back to your point of part of the whole busy thing, even being busy on social, trying to build followers. Mm. There are a whole lot of people with a whole lot of followers who ain't got no money. So success ain't about how many stages you're taking necessarily. It ain't about how many followers you got. It's not about how busy you are, because there's some really busy people who ain't happy. So unlearning the busy means learning what is actually success for you. How do you define success? For me, success is living life on my own terms.
And no one else can define those terms but you and your maker.
That's it.
And other people won't understand those terms.
That's it.
Because somebody be like, oh, man, I don't even understand. Like, she out here, you know, she could have been capitalizing on this, but then, you know, she taking a break. Yes, because right now in this moment, on her terms.
Her terms.
Because what does she know that you don't know? Yep. And you have to always look at it like that. When you're like, man, if I was her. But the problem is you're not high. You don't have the stresses she has. You don't have the blessings she has. You don't have the requirements. You don't have the things pulling at you. So you in your igloo,
yep.
can be like, if I were them,
well, but you're not.
But wonderful. That's why God made 8 billion different people.
Yeah.
On this earth.
Maya Angelou said, "Success is liking yourself, liking what you do, and liking how you do it."
Say it one more time.
Success is liking yourself.
Okay.
Liking what you do. And liking how you do it.
Liking yourself, liking what you do, and liking how you do it.
That's success for
her. I feel like that should be the criteria.
Yeah.
Do I like myself? Do I like what I do?
Do I like how I do it?
Because that last one is integrity. The other one is character.
Yep.
And the other one is skill.
Mm-hmm.
So you need skill, integrity, and character. That's the only... there's no shortcuts to this, guys.
Honestly, it's a constant process of knowing that your no's are going to lead to bigger yeses.
And being okay with sitting it out.
Some things are not for you. You ain't got to be the one going to the game with everybody. You don't have to. You can miss that game.
And also, like, it's so funny because there's sometimes where I'll sit, like, I'll go to an event and I'll see everybody with their phone out and I want to have my phone out and capture it.
Why?
And there's sometimes I'll just be like, but I want to remember it. Like, I want to remember it. Like, it's okay if
To remember through a lens, but remember it.
It's okay if nobody knows that I was at concert X or if I did this. I know I was there. Like, it's okay. I want to remember just being in the moment and be like, damn, that was a good speech. Or that was a good whatever. Or that was a good... And so many times it's like the concern, like, oh, I got to get this moment because if I don't flex on the gram, then it didn't happen. No, it happened. I was there. I got the ticket. I know it happened. I found the Psalm 1:1-3. It ends. It says, "Blesses that the one," and then it ends with, "That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prospers." And so that's Psalms 1-3. So you just read the whole thing, and I love that because it's like when you know who you are, you're planted. You don't have to do the busy thing. When you know, like, hey, all I gotta do is drop this one album today and I can rest for the next 3 months.
Come on.
When you're planted, when you're like, when other people are like, well, the strategy really is if you after you drop the album, then you gotta do da, 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 da. It's like, hey, I know that is what's common for other people.
Howsoever.
What I'm gonna do is do this. I'm gonna do this much press, and I'm gonna sit this out and see, you know, I feel like whatever. You know, you gotta listen to people who go through school and whatever, but you have to also do what makes the most sense for you and whatever you're building. And when you're planted, it said you will yield your fruit in season. Your leaf will not wither. And whatever you do will prosper. Everybody don't get it. Everybody won't get it. But if you are this person, if you're planted, and if your delight is in him, what?
And I know a lot of people who listen are parents, and yeah. You're like, how can I be unbusy with these kids? Listen, we can't tell you how to be unbusy with the kids, but we want you to, hopefully you have people around you who you can say, you know what, I need a break. Can you just watch them for 2 hours? You know, learn how to ask for what you need from the people who you trust. Because we're talking about mostly work, but also when we learn how to be less busy in other areas of our lives, then we can make the choices to be more present in the places where we need to be. Mm-hmm. So maybe you won't be so tired if you can make the choice to, like, hey.
And also prioritize. Because yeah. I know a lot of, especially Nigerian women, it's like, well, it's just me and my kids. No. You got a whole husband right now. So it's like, you have to prioritize. Because I know there are people who are like, it's me, it's God, my spouse, then my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, okay, I'll rock with that. Because some people have it like, when the kids come, it's like my kids and then everybody else. It's like, your husband's gonna be looking like, these hoes will leave us when they're 18. They will leave us. Matter of fact, they may leave us before then. Like, true. It's gonna be me and you forever. So you just wanna put me on the back burner for 18 years and then come back and think like we just gonna start where we left off? How'd that work? So in your busy, you gotta prioritize what's important.
Prioritize what's important. So yeah, I mean, right now I think I'm prioritizing focus. I feel like I am being
what
called.
What are you focusing on? What are you focusing on? Auntie Tella.
Wouldn't you like to know? Yeah, no, I feel like I'm being called to be more still. I'm saying way more no's than I ever did. I'm being called to be more still because I feel like I am currently I'm in the moment before the harvest season. Ooh. So I have to build up my energy for the harvest.
Sheesh.
Because next year my book comes out.
You're preaching good, mama.
Come on. So I'm like, you know what? This is the moment where I actually have to be quiet to, like, get all the extra energy I'm going to need so when harvest comes, I'm not burnt out already.
Yeah.
So.
And I think that was, I never got that moment. I never got that rest before the harvest.
You didn't.
Man, we went from filming to filming again in Nigeria to this tour to now this movie. And then I'll be, you know, finishing up and writing the book. So, yeah, girl.
Yeah.
That's how you know you're tired. You take that deep sigh like,
yeah.
But here's the thing. Once you recognize it, y'all, I'm telling you, that is half of the problem. Because so many people are running around with, like, a chicken with their head cut off, but they don't even know they're running around like that.
Right.
They're just like, well, this is what it's supposed to be, because if I don't do it, then what? And you make it. There was something you said to me, Lovey. You said something about the hustle. You remember when we were texting and it was like, well, this is the life we pray for. I said something to you and you said something back to me.
Let me find it. Because I remember saying that. I remember what you were talking about.
Because it was like, yeah, well, you know, just we just going to have to do this. And you said, if you can find it, that'd be.
I'm going to find it in our WhatsApp chat.
It was in our WhatsApp chat.
Yeah.
But the moral of the story, while she's finding that, I feel like this whole thing's like, go and find it. Okay, go and find it. We'll wait. Stall. It's. You got to prioritize in this season. You also got to know before your body lets you know.
Ooh, I said, I'm trying to automate my purpose. I'll tell you actually the whole chat. So
don't tell my business.
So you were talking about how busy you're feeling, how tired you are. And you said, so let me just respect myself and do what only I can do. I can't die. And everything will work itself out. I said, yeah, it's a lot. I understand that feeling of overwhelm. I said, anything I can do to help? You said, honestly, pray and lift me up when you think of me. It's all good problems, and anything great comes with its own set of challenges. So it's all about maintaining peace and the right perspective. And I said, champagne problems are problems too. Even good problems start showing up because the body doesn't know the difference between good and bad stress. You said, facts, so I just got to trust that I got the goods. God will send the right workers, and all things will work together for good. We have been here before, we didn't break then, and we will not break now. The end. Finish. I said, how are you? No, you said, how are you? How's your mental space looking? I said, I'm good. Slowing down, taking a break. And now I'm like, why do I have to do things again?
Yes.
So you said, good question to ask. And when you clearly answer it, makes everything you do that much more poignant. I said, I have a clear answer. So I said, I'm trying to automate my purpose. Oh, you said that would be the dream. Because I said, I want to be lazy.
Yeah.
You said that would be the dream, but our purpose won't give us a chance.
I did say that.
And I said, I'm trying to automate my purpose. The grind isn't a part of the purpose. The work is. We can come kill ourselves grinding. But the grind is not the purpose. The work is. The work does not have to look like hustling, running around like headless chickens. So
that's how we're going to end this episode, because there's nothing else to
do. Drop the mic on them.
As you can see, real-time conversations of me and Lovie trying to unlearn being busy.
Yes. Yes.
Real life. And this was recent. This was like
January.
January.
Yeah, this is last month.
So it's like we're all in it. And you need, if you don't have an accountability partner, if you don't have somebody that can like lift you up, like and give you the thing you need, but also give you the thing that you didn't know you needed, but you needed in that moment, just to be like, hey, listen, I'm gonna pray for you for sure. I got you. However, here's what I'm on right now. Like you can be on it, or you cannot. But like here I want to be lazy, and it's like sometimes you need somebody that gives you the freedom to be like, wait, we can be lazy. We can desire laziness.
We can desire laziness.
Is that a thing? Like because sometimes it sounds you have to unlearn what that feels like, right? We have been conditioned like if you know. You eat what you kill, you know?
Right.
If you don't walk, you don't eat. All of that thing. Lazy man, huh? But it's like, yo, I want to be lazy today and not feel bad about it.
And that's okay.
And
so
there's some days where that's okay, but some people are just lazy for lazy's sake. You know, you gotta take everything we're saying and you gotta apply it to your situation. If you know that you do not work anybody's hard, it's time for you to start plowing. If you know you are working harder than everybody you know, it's time for you to start chilling.
There's a post that I posted on Instagram last month by a woman named Jamie Varon where she said, okay, breathe. You don't have to do everything in the first days of 2020. You have the whole year. Take it slow, take it easy. Make a plan. Start small and even smaller than you're thinking. Go for sustainable over perfect. Go for incremental over overnight change. And remember how you start is important. You start with kindness towards yourself. Begin there.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. And I'll leave you with this before we leave. There is a sermon by Julian Lowe. He's the pastor at Oasis. And it's entitled Beast Mode versus priest mode. It was a situation. He's like, because some of y'all are going beast mode when you should really be in like still mode and prayer mode and, you know, and just like peace mode. But then when you should be in so like we reverse it, right? It's like the times where, you know, we should be actually working, we start praying. It's like, nah, that, you know, this is not for you to be working and building a harvest and reaping a harvest, like all of that work. But you're like, I just wait for God to do it. You know, I'm really looking for a sign from the Father. He has given you all the signs.
All the signs.
Go and work. And then the times after you have worked, God is like, hey, I am the person who adds like blessings upon this. You got to let me do my work. Mm-hmm. You've done. Thank you. You have given me the alley-oop. You got to let me slam dunk it. And sometimes we get our titles mixed up. It's like, no. Our job is to implement. His job is to just go in there and do what only he can do. And sometimes we be trying to do everybody's job. That is what we have to unlearn. We got to learn what our job is and play our position,
right,
and unlearn all the other stuff, because fear will make you feel like, I got to do everything for everybody. Nope. That's just what you want to do.
Boom.
Because you feel like that's what you have to do.
Boom. So go with us on the journey of unlearning how to be busy.
I feel like we're going to have to like do a part two at the end of the season. Like, so how did we do?
How you been doing?
Take
you know
it.
What? We should. We really should.
What have we unlearned?
What have we unlearned?
That's going to be our motto for this. Okay. What have we unlearned? Hello, class. So what have we unlearned?
We'll be like, nothing. We are still too busy.
No, by the grace of God.
No, you know what? By the end of the season, I will be done writing book two.
Come on.
You will be
Me
done
too.
With one movie.
One movie, one comedy special. I still need to finish the book.
Really? That's a different episode.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm slacking. I just promise you that. It is, and it's not even because I'm busy. Joe, this has just been a very interesting, you know, we thank God. but the book is coming out. But now it's just going to be even better. And sometimes you have to take when different things stop you in your tracks.
Yep.
And take that and be like, okay, God, you're still well able to do the exceedingly abundantly above all.
Above all.
This may not have been my time. This may not have been my 5-year plan.
Right.
You know, because it's like you have to unlearn the rat race. And sometimes you have to unlearn your 5-year plan. And I saw this year stacked up in a very different way. And life has said no. Life has said no. We got other plans. And I had to come to peace with that. I mean, Lovey knows what I'd be calling, like, I'm so upset. I don't even understand why. Blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, hey, okay. So are the words still going to be powerful next year?
Even more powerful.
Okay, great.
Even more powerful.
So it's like, okay, I can't control this. There's nothing else I can do. I can just figure out how to maximize the moment when it comes. And sometimes that's what unlearning being busy is.
Yes. Ah, that's real. So yeah, go on the journey with us.
Mm-hmm.
We will see how we are at the end of the season.
And don't forget. Your blackness is enough, and Jesus is your love. Hey. Your blackness is enough, hey. And Jesus is your love. Correct. Say your blackness is your love, yeah. And Jesus is your love. Your blackness is enough.
Follow us on social media. I am at Lovey Everywhere.
I am at Yvonne Orji.
And then we are at Jesus and Jollof on all the platforms. If you want to make sure you know when we drop episodes, that we can't even give you a schedule right now, you should be subscribing and following us on the Instagram.
Yes.
On the Twitter.
All of the above. And don't look for it on Wednesdays. I mean, it can come. Hey, it's like the coming of Jesus. Night. He will come like a thief in the night.
We'll just come like thieves in the night.
You will know. You will not know the time or the hour. It may be dropping in the middle of the day, 2:00, anyhow. So, yeah, so we may drop this tomorrow. You have no idea.
You never know.
So just, you know, don't look for it on Wednesdays. Don't plan around our schedule. Just enjoy the schedule.
In fact, unlearn expecting our episodes. Unlearn our consistency. Just.
But always professional, but just inconsistent.
Just inconsistent. We'll be inconsistent ghosts.
Yes. Unlearn the expectations that have been set. Yeah, because we're trying to help you. Who set those expectations for you?
Correct. Us. It was us. It was us. We did it.
We branded ourselves and then we're unbranded.
Yeah.
It's okay. We will be even more successful.
Yes.
Yes, because we're learning that we had to unlearn that.
Correct. And we will be bringing you hot fire episodes.
Are you not welcome? Are you not happy?
You're not happy.
Over an hour.
In fact.
Your commute has been better.
What are you talking about?
Are you done talking?
Tell me, baby, are you done talking? Hey. In fact, we've done 2 90-minute episodes. That's 3 episodes. In fact, that's 3 episodes. That's 3.
Who told you to listen to it all in one swoop?
Correct.
You should have broken it up part 1 and part 2.
We didn't ask you that. We didn't ask you.
Why are we abusing that?
Why are we abusing that?
All right, guys, we gotta go. Just
bye, y'all. See you on the next episode.